100,000 words in the English language. That's amazing, isn't it? You probably thought I used them all this morning in the sermon. But anyway, there are 700,000 words in the English language. That's a lot, isn't it? It really is. Did you know that the average lead pencil will write 50,000 English words? The average number two pencil. The Bible, that is the King James Version, contains 773,746 words. Normally, a person speaks 26,800 words per day, enough to fill up a 500-page book each week. Isn't that amazing? I read not long ago that a man will generally speak about 15,000 words in a day. You know how many words a woman will speak? 30,000 words. I said that to my wife before this sermon, and she said the reason for that is generally women have to repeat everything they say. And that may be true. The average person, now think about this, the average person will use in a lifetime, say if he lives to be 75 years of age, if he lives to be 75, he will speak 773,650,000 words in his lifetime. That's amazing, isn't it? No wonder Jesus said that for every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. No wonder the Bible says so much about words, what we speak and what we say. Now, I told you this morning that I was going to speak tonight on the 10 most important words you will ever utter or can ever utter. It is not, I take Martha to be my lawful wedded wife, or I take John to be my lawful wedded husband. You know, I was conducting a wedding not long ago over in Lyndale, just a few weeks ago, actually 2 weeks ago, and I had asked a young girl to repeat after me. And anyway, she started repeating, and you've heard the old adage that they get it all mixed up, and that's exactly what she said. She said, I take thee, Chris, to be my awful wedded husband. I don't think she ever gained composure again after that. You know, we all would, there are times when we would like to have some of our words back. I was standing at the back of the building one time, and a lady came out to me and shook my hand and said, Preacher, I bet that's one you'd like to have back. Well, you know, there are times when we all say things. There are times maybe when it doesn't come out like we want to say it. I had a preacher friend of mine, and I had to really joss him a little bit about this because he was quoting 2 Peter 3:10. And he kept calling it 2 Peter P10. Well, all throughout the service, and I had to straighten him out, and I said, look, Joe, I said, it's not. I said, it's 2 Peter 3:10. Well, we all say things one time, and I know that one time here I was preaching, and this really happened. This is no preacher story. I was preaching up here, and I was talking about the fact that we all ought to be more spiritually mature. And for some reason, it came out, we ought to be more spiritually manure. Well, believe it or not, somebody corrected me after service, and I was glad they did because it just came out wrong. I didn't want it to come out that way, but it did. The 10 most important words you will ever utter in your life are the words that Jesus Christ said that we all are to utter if we are to go to heaven. And they are found in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter and verse 32. And they are found, that is the basis for it. And then you will find in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, those 10 words. Where the Ethiopian said, I believe, count them, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There are no greater words that will ever fall from the lips of any human being than those words. Now, you will remember that Jesus, in the midst of all of the digression religiously that was going on in his day, and the people denying his divinity, and people actually who had turned away from God and unrepentant, it was Jesus who taught. He said, unless you confess me before men, I will not confess you before the Father who is in heaven. And he said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father who is in heaven. I believe, first of all, that the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God should be a public confession. Now, I know there are a lot of questions about that. A lot of people raise the argument, well, do you think it has to be made up in front of a church building? Or do you think that, before a person is baptized, that he has to come up and make a confession of his faith there before the church? If that's the case, folks, now stop, think about this. If that is the case, what do we do with the individual who wants to be baptized on Monday night or on Tuesday night? Or on Wednesday night, or a Saturday afternoon, or perhaps maybe on a Friday morning, if that is the case, what do we do with the individual who wants to be baptized on Monday night, or on Tuesday night, or on Wednesday night, or a Saturday afternoon, or perhaps maybe on a Friday morning, who makes the decision to commit his life to God? You see, I don't believe that it actually has to be made before the public assembly, and I don't really think that necessarily is what Christ had in mind. Now, that certainly does not negate the fact that we all ought to make a public profession of our faith. I really believe that. But I don't necessarily believe that Christ was talking about on a Sunday morning or maybe on a Sunday night as we're gathered here. There's nothing wrong with that. But I believe that the confession of one's faith in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God transcends and goes way beyond Sunday night as we're gathered here. There's nothing wrong with that. But I believe that the confession of one's faith in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God transcends and goes way beyond the confines of this building. I don't believe that confession, those words, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is something that you utter up in front of a church building and then you go your merry way and you never confess it again. I believe that the confession is an ongoing thing. It's like the word repent, the word metanoia in the Greek language, which talks about the change of mind that takes place in a person's heart when he decides to commit his life to Jesus Christ. And a lot of people have the idea that repenting is something you do from the pew while you're making your way down the aisle and you get to the front pew and then you've repented. That's not repentance at all. The Bible says that godly sorrow brings about or worketh repentance, and it does, Romans 2, and I'm convinced of that. But repentance is an ongoing thing. When you learn certain things are wrong, you determine in your mind that you're going to repent of it. You're going to change. Let's say, for instance, that you're not a Christian. You want to become a child of God. You have to initially say, in your mind, that you're going to repent of it. You're going to change. Let's say, for instance, that you're not a Christian. You want to become a child of God. You have to initially say, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. All right? That's repentance in your mind. But then it is more than just something that takes place in your mind. It is something that takes place in your life. Jesus said that we are to bring forth fruit meet for repentance. That is, show me your repentance by the way that you live. Now, confession is the same way. When we talk about confessing Christ, notice what Jesus said. By the way, if you'll go back and analyze what he said in Matthew 10, you'll find precisely that Jesus was not necessarily talking about the church where that confession was to be made. When he said, if you confess me before men. Now, I really believe that he's talking about out in the world where Christ is being denied time and time again. Now, there again, I'm certainly not opposed and welcome anybody's confession at any time. They want to do it up in front of the building, that's great. And certainly I would want one to make that confession of faith as being denied time and time again. Now there again, I'm certainly not opposed and welcome anybody's confession at any time. They want to do it up in front of the building, that's great. And certainly I would want one to make that confession of faith prior to being baptized. And we just simply give a person an opportunity to do that because of convenience sake here. But I always try to impress upon their minds that that repentance and confession doesn't stop here. It just begins here. And we are to go on and we are to confess Christ every day. But those are the 10 most important words you will ever make or say in your life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I believe that. There's another word in the Bible that's closely associated with the word confess. And by the way, the word confess comes from the Greek words, actually two Greek words. One of them is homo, and the other one is logeo, which actually means that you're saying the same thing. Now, if you remember, Christ came into the world and he declared himself to be the Son of God. And he says that in actuality, that when we make that confession, and that, by the way, remember, that's what confession is, saying the same thing that Jesus said. He said, I am the Christ. Peter said it. He confessed to him, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And that's when Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But confession is such an important thing. And we would be hard-pressed to go through the accounts of conversion given in the Bible and find where anyone ever really became a child of God without confessing Christ as Lord. That's why Paul in his writings to the early church said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I rather think that when a person even confesses Christ, he is confessing him as Lord and Savior as well as the Son of God. Now, the typical confession that people make, however, sometimes in religious denominations when they come to the front of the building and declare themselves candidates for baptism or perhaps candidates to be united in some kind of fellowship, denominationally speaking, this is the confession that they're asked to make. Do you believe that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven your sin? And almost without exception, people will respond by saying yes, without ever really stopping to think what they're saying. Now, many people tell me that they were saved at the point of their baptism and not at the point of... And almost without exception, people will respond by saying yes, without ever really stopping to think what they're saying. Now, many people tell me that they were saved at the point of their baptism and not at the point of their acknowledgement of Christ. And actually, they're not even asked to make the confession. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? The same statement that was made by the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. But think about this a minute. Do you believe that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven your sin? Now, if you answered a yes to that, then you are saying that I was saved before I was baptized or immersed into Christ. Listen again. Do you believe that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven your sin? That's the confession that they are asked to make at the front of the building. Now, if that's true, that means that God has forgiven your sins prior to an immersion in Christ. But nowhere do you find in the Bible where Jesus ever asked us to make that kind of confession. But he did ask us to make the confession that he is the Son of God. And he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. And that brings us to another point. First of all, it must be a public profession, but then it must be a living confession and profession as well. You see, you just start here, as I mentioned, but then you go out. And you live the kind of life that bears testimony to the fact that Jesus really is the Son of God. You know, back during the days of Jesus and his early ministry, the Bible says that there were some who refused to confess Christ because they were afraid of being cast out of the public assembly among all the Jews. They were afraid of being put out of the synagogue if they were to confess Christ, and so they did not do that. Pilate himself, who really... I really believe maybe that there was an inkling of faith in his mind when he turned Jesus over to be crucified. And for he washed his hands of the whole matter and said, I'll have nothing to do, listen to what he says, with this just man. And his wife, who had received in a vision, by the way, about the Christ, said, she told her husband, said, have nothing to do with this man. That is, with his crucifixion, with turning him over to the mob who hollered and clamored for his death. Confession is something that we live out in our life. Listen to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. He says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice that. Confession is not something you make after you receive salvation, but it is something that you receive pointing to it. Now that's what it said. Confession is made unto salvation. And in every apostolic sermon within the scripture, you will find, without exception, people began to confess Christ over and over. And so when we find in this case, in Acts chapter 8, where Philip joins himself to the chariot of the Ethiopian, the queen's treasurer, the secretary of the treasury, if you will, and he's on his way back home, and he's out on that road that led out to what we call today the Gaza Strip, and the Bible says that Philip joined himself to the chariot and began to preach unto him Jesus. He was reading from Isaiah 53. And as he preached to him, the Bible says they came to a certain water. And he said, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all of thine heart, thou mayest. Now you'll find the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, put in parentheses or listed there parenthetically in some translations and in some of various translations and other manuscripts. But the statement is true that God has asked us to make that confession of faith publicly, verbally, but it is something that we do with our lives as well. How often have you ever heard people say, well, I may not be able to teach somebody verbally. I'm just not given to a lot of verbosity, and I'm just not a good teacher, and other manuscripts. But the statement is true that God has asked us to make that confession of faith publicly, verbally, but it is something that we do with our lives as well. How often have you ever heard people say, well, I may not be able to teach somebody verbally, I'm just not given to a lot of verbosity. But the statement is true that God has asked us to make that confession of faith publicly, verbally, but it is something that we do with our lives as well. How often have you ever heard people say, well, I may not be able to teach somebody verbally, I'm just not given to a lot of verbosity, and I'm just not a good teacher, those kind of things. And they say, but I teach by my life. And you do. You teach that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God by the way that you live. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is something that we do. It is ongoing. That's why Jesus said that we ought to really be careful about our words. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Now, we have to watch our words. Jesus obviously taught that. And by the way, when we were talking this morning about the coming judgment of God in the book of Revelation chapter 20, someone realistically said one of those books are the books of words that are recorded that we say. And I don't know if that's true or not. And probably it'd just be conjecture on our part if we to draw into that and say that. But I do know one thing. That God does take note of our words, what we say, he does. And that's why he said, you know, you can call me Lord, Lord all day, and if you don't do what I say, what kind of Lord am I? He said, not everyone that says Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. So that's living the confession. In the sixth chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 46, you'll find where Jesus said, why do we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us? And we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And even so the tongue is a little member, that boasteth great things, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. He says that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kinds of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. Isn't that amazing to you? I mean, how they can tame that? I mean, it's amazing to me how they can tame lions, tigers, elephants. All these things can be tamed. Someone said that tame porpoises, dolphins. Someone said two porpoises were talking one time, and they said, isn't it amazing how they train humans? They keep throwing food in at us. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. It is full of deadly poison, and therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And out of the same mouth proceeding blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not to be. Watch our words. That's why David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. There are going to be times when we offend. We don't do it intentionally. We say things. People get offended sometimes, and I'm up here teaching, preaching the word. It's going to happen. People got offended at Jesus. They did. Go back and read the scripture and you'll find that it happened. Certainly not intentionally trying to offend anyone. But because sometimes things just don't come out like we want them to come out or emerge, sometimes it becomes offensive. So we have to watch our words and what we say. Watch our words. But no greater words than these. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And live it. Live it every day. And go about confessing Christ, and don't be ashamed to do it wherever you are. For Jesus said, he that is ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes and his glory. Now, I know that by and large, probably all of you tonight are Christians, the majority of you anyway, and you have made that public profession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You've made it to someone. Maybe you made it up here in front of the building. Maybe you made it on a Monday night or a Friday night, and you're just as saved as if you were here on Sunday morning and did it, just as if you were baptized in a private setting, as much as you are if you were baptized in a public one. But the real challenge does not rest there. The real challenge is to confess Christ on the job, confess Christ among your peers, confess Christ in your family, confess Christ to your neighbors, confess Christ to people you meet on the street, and not be ashamed of it. And that's sometimes where we often fail as God's people. And so let me challenge you tonight to confess Jesus. Sometimes we meet people every day and we never even stop to think about it. We never even ask the question, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And encourage them to become one. I hope this week you'll seek someone out and do that. You'll be blessed. God will be honored. And you might just save a soul. For as the sign says out there, there's no business like soul business. And it's true. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can come publicly because it is convenient for you to make a declaration of your faith. And you can confess the same thing that Christ said, that he is the Christ. Remember when Pilate said, are you the Christ? He said, thou sayest it. And that's what he's asking you to say tonight. That he's the Christ. He's the Son of God. And if you believe that tonight, I can do you any good if you don't believe it, but if you really believe it and you want to act upon your faith to become his child with a mindset of repentance that says, hey, I want to change. I want to try to do what's right. And, I want to give my life to Jesus. Things are going to be different for me. then you can be baptized tonight. And you can walk out of this building cleansed, forgiven, purged of every sin, and made right with the Lord and the Master. And if, as a Christian, sometimes we are negligent and we fail sometimes to really confess Christ wherever we are and where we go, then I think that's a sin, folks. I mean, I don't know how to say it in any other way, but it is. For Jesus said to deny me, and we deny him when we don't speak up for him. For Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not scattereth abroad. I hope we're not doing that, but I hope we're doing the former, and I hope you're with him tonight. Dwayne has selected a song of encouragement. We're going to sing this song here tonight, and to give you an opportunity to come publicly before this group of people. And if you desire to become a Christian by being baptized, then the door is open tonight. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man opens up to me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. The door is open tonight, and will you let Jesus in? And while we stand and while we sing.